Well, hello there. We're going to be just going through very quickly the volunteer set of values and vision for our volunteer team, and so that we can have this on a DVD to give to all of our new volunteers, because we're getting so many applying. It's absolutely wonderful what the Lord is doing. But just to give you a little bit of history, back in 2003, when we started really praying into this region, and that it was like dry spiritually from our point of view. There was a lot of wonderful church activity going on. There was the gospel was being preached, the word was being taught, a lot of really wonderful things. But from a real prophetic, supernatural level, there seemed to be a lot of resistance and a lot of dryness in the region. And so God had spoken to us and said, I want you to establish a team within Phoenix, and I want you to make this a hub of your itinerant ministry. And so we said yes to him, and team members started coming together. Well, just almost immediately after that, I saw in the spirit one morning this rain cloud just dumping rain. It was just like major rain coming down. I thought, wow. And to me, it was a sign that a refreshment was coming. And so I went out for a walk that day, out for my prayer walk. And as I was walking and praying, these clouds came in and filled the sky. And there was this downpour beyond anything that I've ever been in. And I was just laughing. I mean, it was bouncing off the streets. There were streams running through the streets. And you know, I was trying to get back, and I thought, I'm being overtaken by rain. Well, in the year 2004 and 2005, in that particular time frame, there was so much rain. And in fact, when we started flying into Phoenix during that time, it was green grass on the hills, which had been the first time I'd ever seen that. Everything was green. I thought, oh my gosh, what a different view this is. But I believed it was a prophetic picture of what God was doing in that hour, and what he was showing us, what was going to happen as we just move forward to serve him as a part of the whole picture, because there's many ministries that are doing wonderful works, but he had called us in to be a part of that. And to fulfill what he wanted us to do, we were going to need a large team of volunteers to help with winning the lost, with going into the zone and working with the homeless poor, and helping out at conferences and events, because one of the ways that we've been able to fuel the body is to be able to host events where the gospel is preached, where the supernatural is released, where the prophetic flows, and so that people can get introduced to new levels of that, and then to move into media with it so that we can export it to the nations. So as a result of that, we were going to be needing to develop a team. So we did. We just gave an invitation for people to come on board. And many of you are actually some of our very first team members. You're still with us, and we're just moving forward with more and more, it seems, every month are applying to be team members. So we would like everyone who's coming on as a team member to go through our doctrinal beliefs. Basically, we believe strongly in, of course, the Nicene Creed, all the basic orthodox beliefs of the Christian faith. And so that is what we adhere to. And we believe in the fullness of the Spirit and his gifts within every believer, and how every believer is called to express Jesus in the world around us. We believe in a supernatural God. We believe in his glory, and that his glory is to fill the earth. The knowledge of his glory and the glory, the essence of his glory, is to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea, and that this is to be through his people. And so our heart as a ministry is to proclaim the message that God loves everyone with an everlasting love, and that in that love and the glory of that love and the supernatural elements of that love, that we go forward to fulfill the apostolic mandate of Matthew 10, which is to go and preach the good news of the kingdom of God. And as we go, of course, we heal the sick, we raise the dead, we cleanse lepers, we deliver people with the demonic, and all the manifestations of the kingdom of God. So those are basically our belief, basic beliefs. Now, we want those that join our team to receive the training that we give so that we're all on the same page. We're finding that God's drawing a real tribe together, people of like heart, like passion, like spirit, but we also theologically want to be on the same page. So there's some things that are very important to us as a ministry. Our most predominant course is the Glory School. And we would like all of our team members to go through the Glory School, either a live school or go through all the CDs, so that you understand step by step what God has given us. That course was actually given by visitation of the Holy Spirit, but it goes through lesson by lesson an unpacking of discipleship into the glory. And it's all based on the Word of God. And then the prophetic boot camp is another course that we want you to have. Of course, we're a prophetic ministry, so we want all of our people to learn how to hear the voice of God and to be able to identify the voice of God, the different ways He speaks, how to hear, how to see, how to sense His presence and what He's saying, how to determine how to walk with Him and follow Him when He gives revelation, interpretation, and application. And so that is in the boot camp. And then we want all of our team to do an extreme prophetic school, either by CD, DVD, or in a live seminar, and go on an outreach, because our heart is not just to sit inside of conferences all the time, but it is to take the light and the glory of Jesus to the world around us. Last night, we were in a restaurant. We had gone and watched a movie, and then afterwards, we just went out for coffee and a little snack, and we landed up prophesying. The whole table ended up prophesying over the waitress, and we landed up preaching the gospel to her and ministering to her right in the restaurant. Well, we want all of our team to be able ministers of the gospel. So we would like you to take the School of Extreme Prophetic. You don't have to take these all at once, but over your first year as a volunteer, we want you to have these sessions. And we would also like you to listen to the Faith Connection, because we're a faith ministry. Everything we do is through and by faith. The Encountering the Sevenfold Spirit of God CD set, we'd like you to get that and listen through that, because we are a ministry who believes in walking with the Spirit, following the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, knowing Holy Spirit. We want to follow Him in our meetings, when we're in an event, and out on the streets when we're doing outreach, and in our homes when we're just living our day-to-day life. We want to make following the Holy Spirit our priority. So we want to know Him, the different elements of His nature and His gifts and His dimensions and spheres of influence that can work in us and through us. Anointed with Favor is another CD that we would like you to hear. Now, it's the Power Twins has Anointed with Favor and Anointed with Honor. We want all of our team members to be walking in the favor of God. The Lord surrounds us with favor as a shield. And even in times of persecution, our favor increases. Get that, you know? But we want that for all of our team members. So we want you to understand how favor works and how important it is for you as a team. Also, Anointed with Honor, in fact, for an extra teaching that I'd love all of our team to get, is Rob Packer's teaching on honor. It is the best I've ever heard. It's just outstanding, and you will get a lot out of that teaching. But the second CD in the Power Twins pack is Anointed with Honor, and we go into the importance of honoring each other, honoring God, honoring other ministries. We will not allow dishonor on this team, because we know the consequence of dishonor. I've seen people disqualified in their ministries, even though they're very gifted, talented people. They have all the resources, they need everything, but doors don't open because they have dishonored with their mouths, with their heart, and with their thinking others in the body of Christ. And so God holds them in a holding place until they get that right. And I've seen that as soon as they repent, humble themselves, and start honoring and sowing honor, the doors start to open. So that's very important to us as a team. Also, the CD called Empowered to Heal. And I believe that that is in inside of a CD set called, I think it's a Supernatural or something. You can get it either single or in that set. Called to Sexual Purity is another one. Deliver Us from Evil. And the Fire Series, which is the Intercessory Prayer Series. If you can't do the whole fire series, we want you to do Increasing Your Prayer Power, which gives you the basic in that course. It's just four CDs, whereas the fire series, I think, is about 20 or something. So anyways, so that completes a training for our volunteers so that we know that you've got good seed of the word inside of you, good understanding, you know the values because they're all woven in and through the different teachings, and you know how to move forward in all that we represent, what God's given us as a ministry. We want to steward it well. We want you to grow in all those things. So we want you to have the teaching. So if you could commit to that within your first year and try to get as much done as you possibly can. And some of you who have been volunteers for a while and you're sitting there thinking, whoops, I haven't listened to that one yet, I better go do that, then make that a priority so that you can get the teaching. We do have a library of CD teachings and books that is at the resource department. Cindy Stringer is in charge of that. So if you want to go out to the center and sign out a teaching, you can, or you just purchase your own. Now I want to talk about values, because values are more important to us in Extreme Prophetic than probably anything else. We have built our whole ministry on a values-based foundation. And so that even if we run into situations where there might be a little bit of a difference in theology, although you don't want to move off the basics at all, but maybe have differences even working with different ministries than that, we don't have a problem with that as long as the values are being practiced. And if we have a strong values-based foundation, we can go almost anywhere as far as vision goes. Vision can change all the time, but our values will never change. So we're going to highlight a few of them here, but the basic premise of our values is that they're all kingdom, they're kingdom values. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus act? What does heaven call for? If we were in heaven, how would we act? Because as it is in heaven, we want it to be in our midst. So I'm just going to go over a few of these with you, the ones we have listed. And one of our greatest values is the exaltation of Jesus Christ. It's not about an exaltation of a person. It's about him. And we work together as a team to exalt him. So in everything that we do, everything we put our hand to, the doing is all because we love him. The doing is all because we want him exalted. We want to bring fame to his name. So some of us might have more visible positions of service within the ministry, but the whole mandate that we have is to exalt him. It's not about exalting a person. And we're all just part of one team. It's like the body has many many organs and has, you know, performs many functions, but it's one body. So you know, one might be a liver, another stomach, another heart, another white corpuscle, whatever, but the body needs all the parts to function. But it's so that Jesus Christ can be exalted. He alone is to be exalted. All power, all glory, all riches, all honor, it all is unto him. Everything we do is for him and in him and through him. The next value is love, unconditional love. For us, love is not an option. We are making love our greatest aim. For the rest of our days on earth, we will pursue love. Faith works through love. The gifts work through love. Evangelism works through love. Everything we do for the body as far as hosting conferences is through love. We're having a meeting tonight, and then we're having two more days of meetings following. We're going to serve in love. We're going to love every person that comes through the doors. We're going to love the speakers and their team. We're going to pour out love from our heart upon everyone that comes in, because that is our greatest aim. Now, love isn't really established in our lives until it's tested. And you will have love tests. We have them all the time. And as a team, it's not an option to rise up against a brother or sister, to put walls and divisions up, to take up offenses against each other, because those oppose love. We want to serve and love each other. And if we make a mistake, or when we make a mistake, that we go back to the value. You see, it's not that we're going to be perfect necessarily every single day walking through these values, but if and when we fall from them, we have something that we can call each other back to. So if we do an action that is maybe not loving, we can encourage each other and say, you know, one of our values is love. Is the way that you're responding, is that a loving response? Because I want to hold you accountable to values. And we need to hold each other accountable to the love of God. We'll never be able to go and love the most vilest of sinners if we can't love ourselves. If we can't love within our own home, it's hard to love the rest of the body. So we make it our aim. And yes, we'll have challenges along the way. And those challenges are perfectly designed for us to grow in more love and to get that love established within our hearts. If people hurt us, we love them back. If they squeeze us, we love them back. If they kick us, we love them back. These are all the testings of love. And so we want to do that within the team and hold each other accountable to that. If we let leaven in that opposes love and just let each other get away with it and, you know, do unloving things like maybe gossiping or backbiting or judging or taking up offense, that leaven will get inside the house and leaven the whole lump, and we'll lose our authority as a ministry. So we all have to take our responsibility. And as a volunteer team, we want to be a team known for love. If we're known for anything in heaven, let's have it be love. Okay, let's have that be our greatest aim. Faith is another value. We want to always call each other to faith. And there's times that we get discouraged or, you know, things look so big and we wonder how can this ever happen, and maybe we fall into a bit of unbelief. But because we know our value is faith, we can bring each other back to that value. Say, you know what? Jesus said, all things are possible if we only believe. Let me help you believe, and let's get back on track with our values. And so faith is what we walk in. We are a faith ministry. We follow God and what he tells us to do. It's always impossible to the natural eye, it seems. But he calls us to do things, and we just say yes and then believe him for whatever it takes. And he is good. And our faith is attached to all the promises, all the covenant promises in the Word of God. So we know that all those promises are yes and amen. Humility and servanthood are values that we highly esteem. As a team, there should be no jostling. We don't believe in jostling for position, or, why did this person get that position? Why did they get to sit there and I have to sit there? And, you know, why did they get the first place in line and I got the last place in line? Because the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. The highest in the kingdom is the lowest of all. That was Jesus' model to us. He's the greatest in the whole universe, and yet he took the lowest place at the cross. He is the most highly exalted being that there ever was, and yet he came as a servant of all. And so we need to clothe ourselves in humility. How can we go lower still? When I'm being challenged and, you know, that self-protectiveness rises up on the inside of you, you have to remember, no, I'm going to walk humbly before my God. And I'm even going to walk humbly before this person. I'm going to humble myself before them. And I'm going to take on a servant's garment, and I'm going to serve them so that they can be all that they can be in Christ. So I can help them come up to the greatest level. So humility means everything. And we're to prefer each other. When people come in and they're at the book table or at the registration desk, or, you know, we're out on the streets, we go wrapped in humility. We're not there to have a name known. You know, we don't, you know, need our name in lights or anything like that. We're just there to serve. We are there in a place of humility to bring others up into a higher place. And as we all take that place, then God exalts everyone. And we're a whole ministry of people who are humble, servants who just love him and love each other. And that serving starts with each other. And there's no jostling for position or name or title or anything like that. We need to always be willing to take the lower place. Okay, next is, I might also want to say, under humility and servanthood, as a ministry, we are committed to helping our team fulfill their dreams and desires. There's nothing I love better as a leader than to see the team that have a passion for something walk in their passion. And so my heart and my desire is always to facilitate that. But sometimes someone's not ready for what they see in their dreams. And there's character things that have to be worked on first. We've had sometimes in the past, we've had people, I know that when we were pastoring years ago, there's people that came in and thought that they were called, well, this one in particular, I'll just use this as an example, that he was called to be a prophet to the nations. But he had pride issues, and he had things that others resisted. And I said, you know, I so believe that you have the gift to be a prophet to the nations. I so believe that. I see the gifting in you, but, you know, I'd like to see servanthood, because I would like to see that gift ministered to the nations out of a servant heart, not out of a I want my position heart. And he really struggled with that. And he said, I'm not called to serve. I'm called to prophesy. And I thought, you're not our tribe. You're not our tribe. I would have been so happy to help him get ready. And sometimes when you think you're ready, you're not ready yet. And you have to just trust God. But he has everything in the right timing. But just so that you know, the heart of the leadership in this ministry is to come alongside and nurture the team to fulfill their dreams. I'm not a leader that says, well, here I am, the leader. Everybody serve me, because I want you to give me strokes and make sure everything that I want to do is done. You know, it's just not, that's not who we are as a ministry. It's we discern the will of God, and as servants, we serve his purposes, and we all take our place inside of that. And when you share a dream of something that you have in your heart, then that's what we'll work together to see that dream fulfilled and to see you in a place where you can serve in that place. Sometimes we've had volunteers who, let's say, want to work at the altar and do altar ministry, which is wonderful, but there's certain training we want you to go through first, even if you've had other training. We just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. And we've had, just from time to time, the odd person not understanding maybe the process, saying, I'm not called to greet at the door. I'm called to be an altar ministry. I'm not called to set up chairs. I'm called as someone to open the meeting, you know? And it's like, you know, we just have to serve, you know, where we're asked. One thing I love about Rob Hodgkin was a brand new Christian when we got to know him. And so he kind of came into the Glory School right away as a new believer, and then came on team with us. And he was such a fast learner, and he would just do whatever needed to be done. He said, sure, I'll serve with that. Yes, I'll serve with that. Yes, I'll serve with that. And he just learned how to serve, and he came behind everybody else's dreams. And his dream was that he would be a preacher of the gospel. But he had to get ready for it, and he had to have some proven character. He'd come out of the world, and he'd come out of hierarchy systems, and he had things within his own heart. This is his own testimony. I'm not sharing anything that he wouldn't share publicly. But he had issues in his life that had to be dealt with, and they got dealt with in servanthood. They got dealt with through loving confrontation and things like that that honed him and made him an able minister of the new covenant. And now he's one of our most popular itinerants, you know, and people just love him. But it was through servanthood that call got fulfilled. And so you might be asked to do things that you think, well, I'm not called to set up the chairs. I'm called to be the worship leader. Well, set up the chairs and have a good attitude. Test your attitude in servanthood, and then maybe God will release you to serve the body by leading, you know. So that's how we, that's our value. Okay, and servanthood always brings promotion. The ones that get promoted the fastest are the ones that have the biggest heart to serve. It's just the way God seems to do it, because that's his model. Jesus didn't come to be ministered to, he came to minister. He didn't come to be served, he came to serve. And so that is his model, and that's the one that we follow. Another value we have is mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And for us as a ministry, we will always lay on the mercy seat. We will always sit on the mercy seat rather than the judgment seat. God does judge, and we let him do it when it needs to be done. And we're not afraid of confrontation, but it's always from the mercy seat. It's never from a critical point of judgment in that. So we're looking to show mercy. And when correction is needed, it has to be done out of a heart of love. So if that's violated, we have to go back to our values. We remind each other to go back to the values, and the values is that of mercy. And that doesn't mean you're not under, you know, that you don't maybe need to be pulled in or reined in. Mercy doesn't mean you just, you know, get to sin all over the place and never have it addressed. If you really love a person, you'll address the issues. If you really love a person, you will serve them to bring them into the light, but you'll do it with a heart of mercy and compassion. Teachability. We can always learn more. And of course, as a team, we all come from different backgrounds. We've learned different things, and we can learn from each other. I've learned so much from many of you just by hanging with you and listening to your heart and having you download some of your revelations that you've received from the Lord. I've grown as a believer, and I've grown to be a better person because of you. And we all have things that we can teach each other. And we all have things in our life that could be adjusted, a better way of doing things. And so as a ministry, we always want to be teachable and willing to receive correction if we need, or have it adjusted, saying, you know, we need it done this way. And if you did it a wrong way, just apologize. Say, I'm sorry. Teach me how to do it the right way. That would be good. I'm going to practice doing it the right way. And that's a teachable heart that we always want to have. The next is righteousness. We have within us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when you have his righteousness in you, of course, you want to manifest righteousness. You want to manifest righteousness and justice and things that are pure and full of integrity. And so as a ministry, we want to have integrity in everything. And we want to grow in that. That is a high priority to us. So we hate sin and we love righteousness. Accountability and submission. We believe in lots of accountability. I love accountability. I have layers of it in my own personal life and in the ministry. I love it. We have accountability one to another. We have spiritual leaders that we are accountable to. We have the body that we are accountable to. And so we want to have a heart that thinks, I want to be accountable. That means giving an account for the hope that is in you and giving an account for your actions, for your words, for our actions and words as a ministry. We want to have accountability, and we want to be submitted one to another, that we have that heart of submission and value each other. Okay, then we have trust. We need to be willing to launch out in faith and trust in the Lord and not to be afraid to make mistakes. And we want to give you room to make mistakes. You're certainly allowed to make mistakes. And I don't know what it is, if it's a regional thing, because honestly, I've been in leadership for over 26 years, 27 years or so, worked with all kinds of teams, and I've never had so much wrestling with this issue. Is sometimes I find that there's a fear in our team of making mistakes that will cause them to be disqualified. And so I want to address that. I want you to feel free to make a mistake. If you make a mistake, it'll be addressed so that you don't have to make it again, so that you can grow through it and be stronger for it. Now, it's always hard when you have to be addressed for a mistake. Oh, I don't know about you, but it makes my stomach, I made a mistake. And immediately the devil will come and attack your value as a person. What you do is different from who you are. Always remember that. What you do is always different than who you are. You are so precious. You are so valuable. And no matter what you do good or what you do wrong, your value is still the same. You are loaded with value in God. He loves you. And he wants you to trust him and step out into areas that maybe are uncharted territories. As a ministry, we are called to do that often. And you have to just trust God. And you have to trust each other, you know, to move forward together. And sometimes as we move forward, we have to turn the ship in a different direction. You know, we just have to trust that God is leading us. But if we make a mistake in the process, we'll just fix it. That's all. We just fix it. So I don't want you to be afraid to step out in faith. Don't be afraid to step out and make mistakes. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. If you make them, they'll be addressed, and then you'll learn, and then you move on. But it has nothing to do with your value as a person. You're always going to be valued, always loved. You're not rejected. You're not despised. You are loved. But we want to, of course, make sure that we're moving on into excellence and wholeness and things that are right. We don't want to keep making the same mistake over and over again. When I learned how to ski, I didn't have an instructor. I just pointed my skis downhill and away I went, and I kind of learned how to make it to the bottom of the hill. But there's restrictions there because you learn wrong habits And it's harder to fix them after if you don't learn them right from the beginning. And so it hindered me later on. So we want you to just trust God, step out in faith, try new things. If you make a mistake, we'll pick you up. You know, the only thing that we have a hard time with, and this is a heart issue, is that if over and over and over and over again you're addressed, but there's a resistance, like a resistance in your own heart to doing what's right. It's like a rebellious thread is there saying, I know I've heard it a million times, but I'm still doing it my way. Then that's a little bit different, isn't it? Because that's a violation of values that won't be brought back into the values. So then some change has to happen. Then we have to look at that. That's different. And we'll deal with that a little bit differently. But you're still going to be valued as a person. But you might not be able to function in the team the same way. So I don't want anyone to be afraid. I don't want, I can't make mistakes because if I make mistakes and then I'm going to be taken out. And if I don't do this right, then I'm going to be disqualified. And if I don't do that right, that is just not the way it is around here. It is not. You will be addressed. You will be called up to a higher level. You will be worked on. And as long as your heart's willing to adhere to values, we're all going to move forward together. But if there's a resistance to values and you've had time and time and time and time again of trying to work through it, but there's still a resistance, then it's not healthy for you to be allowed to continue to go on. It's healthier for you to pull back until that gets adjusted. I hope that makes sense. I don't want anyone to be afraid of trying to step out and do something new in the Lord. We want you to. And if you do it wrong, we'll pick you up. I have to try all kinds of things, you know. You never know you can do it unless you try it. And along the way, you make some mistakes. And, you know, I praise God. He's a merciful God. You just get up and try it again. He looks to the heart. If your heart is right, that's what he looks to. He always looks to the heart. Okay. Next is obedience. God has called us to walk in obedience to him, and obedience to his word, obedience to his guidance, obedience to his leading. So we believe in walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit and those in authority over us. Purity of motives and integrity. I touched on that already, but why are we in ministry? This is a good question. Why do I want to be in ministry? Is it because I want to be known as someone great in God? Or, you know, is it because I want my dreams fulfilled? Is it because I think it's an easy life to, you know, get an easy living? I've heard some people say, oh yeah, there's a pastor over there, but when's he going to get a real job? And I think, oh my goodness, if people only realized what the heat is like. Being a pastor is probably one of the hardest jobs in the whole world. But people have different motives in even being on a ministry team. And so we got to make sure our motives are clean. And we need to walk in integrity in everything that we do and be models of integrity. Ambition and all other motives that have to do with self must be laid down. Honor and respect. Jesus looks upon each and every person with love. He sees in you, each and every one of you, your potential. And that's what we're to see in each other. We're to respect each other, lean upon each other with respect. And I have to say that I feel so much respect on this team towards each other, towards leaders, towards, you know, everyone that comes into our meetings. I see it. I love it. I want to see more of it. Respect and honor of each one. And so there's no place then for gossip, backbiting, negative talking about each other or leaders that we're submitted to. Just there's no room for that. We want to keep our hearts clean and pure. Next is a spirit of excellence. We want to do everything we do with a spirit of excellence to the very best of our ability. We want to, you know, really serve the Lord with a glad heart, but also with an excellent spirit. And when we're starting out, we're just going to give the Lord the excellence at that level, right? A two-year-old who's holding a conversation can be excellent at that level, but when he's 20 years old, he'll probably, his excellency of speech will be sounding different, right? So whatever level you're at, you just do your most excellent job at that level. It doesn't mean that you have to wait until you, you know, get up to a more mature level. Just do the most excellent job you can do at the level that you're at. Spirit of excellence. Okay, intimacy with God. Seeking him in our personal devotional time, in our soaking times, in our ministry times to him is absolutely important, because we want everything that we do to flow out of intimacy. And so spend time with him. We love worship And our purpose is not to institute programs, but always to be led by the Spirit. So in order to be led by the Spirit, you have to know Him. You have to spend time with Him. Another is diligence. When you're in ministry, diligence is required, and God rewards diligence. But it is required of this ministry that we walk in diligence. So, you know, if you're given a task to do, you do that with all your heart. You don't just slough off and do it halfway or partway. You put your whole heart into it and do it with a real passion and with a diligent heart. It says that those who diligently seek Him are rewarded. And so we want to fulfill His purposes. Now, if you've been asked to do an assignment, make sure that you do it well. If you can't make it, you know, let the person that's assigned you to that position know, and give them a reason. Try to, you know, work that out with them, but be diligent to fulfill the mandate God has given you. Relationship is a very powerful value to us. We like to do everything out of relationship rather than just out of structure. So a lot of our networking with other ministries and everything is born out of relationship. It's not like, you know, a denominational type of ministry. It's more a relational networking. So we are networking with many ministries that love the Lord and who are in the same kind of stream as we are, and even those that are in different streams. But what connects us is relationship. And we want to grow in relationship with each other and protect the relationships. We'll have relationships on different levels. Some will be closer than others, but we always want to have healthy relationships and spend time. We love spending time together. That's why we have these monthly meetings, so that we can see each other and enjoy each other at these times. Next is purity of lifestyle. As a minister, a ministry of His kingdom, we desire to present a good example of Christ's character and nature. We don't like our team using, well, we don't allow it, to use unclean language, mind-altering drugs like marijuana, cocaine, etc., have smoking habits, or to publicly consume alcohol. Now, personally, as an individual, I struggle a little bit with, well, I struggle a lot with the whole issue of alcohol and what it does in society and the wreckage that comes as a result of that issue. So as a ministry, we don't promote the drinking of alcohol. At the same time, I realize that some of you don't share that same conviction. Drunkenness is an absolute, like, well, it's a sin, but it's dangerous, no matter what way you look at it. I was in a meeting recently with a bunch of leaders, Christian leaders, and they were all drinking wine, and some of them 5, 6, 7 glasses of it, were getting tipsy on it. I don't think that's okay. I honestly don't think it's okay at all. Even if that's in your back closet, I don't think that's okay. Because as a minister, you are being watched. Now, if you don't have a conviction about drinking and you want to have a glass of wine with your meal or something, all we're asking is that you would do that in private and not out in public, because people are going to come to know you as a public minister. And I could tell you story after story after story. I could write a book on this, honestly, without exaggeration, of people who have fallen because they saw Christian leaders drink. And they had struggles in their own life, and they were fighting, trying to battle through the addictions. But when they saw the spiritual leaders drink, they thought, well, if they can drink and it's okay for me, but it wasn't okay, and then they slid down. Now, for me personally, I think if it's got that kind of fruit, if it can produce that kind of fruit, it makes me wonder if it's good at all. But and I know that I don't have time to unpack that theologically right now, but I can. And I have scriptures to, you know, endorse our stand. But I'm not going to go into that. All I'm saying is, would you love people enough to be careful? Would you love them enough to not just throw out, you know, words that make it look like, oh yeah, just, you know, go out and have a few drinks or whatever? Can you love people enough to set a good example? And if you do have in your own heart that you just really feel like that's part of your culture or whatever, then do so with so much sensitivity that it doesn't cause anyone to stumble. Because if we cause our brother to stumble, that's not love. And there's many. We're living in an addicted society. Young people today are so addicted. Why? Because of many reasons. But some of it is because of addicted parents. And it's like, let's set a good example for the world around us. And personally, I think like we can get good and drunk on the Holy Spirit wine, which is what we're really called to. So we just want you to be careful with that. We want to set a real pure example. And it's not that it's like the things that we do that make us holy. It's the heart that we keep before Him that is marking us as holy. It's His Spirit that's marking us holy. But let's not be one with the world. Let's be one with Him, and let's do everything out of love and with a pure heart. Okay, generosity. This is huge. As a ministry and as individuals, we love to give. And we just had a meeting concerning our web church, because we found that there's a very small amount of people that are giving anything at all in this last while through our web church. That's not just monthly giving. That's like hardly anything at all, ever. And I'm concerned about that, not because of the money. God always meets our needs. Even without that money coming in, God's still meeting our needs because we have faith for it. But it concerns me because I don't believe you can have a healthy body without a generous spirit. If you follow every revival in church history, you'll see it came on the wings of big-time giving. Moses was asked to call the people to give before the tabernacle was built that held the glory. David and Solomon's temple. It was extravagant giving before that was ever established. And when there's outpouring, when David brought the ark back into Jerusalem, he was extravagant giving all the way and offering every six paces. When he got into Jerusalem, he fed the whole nation a threefold portion. You know, we are a generous people. We are not a withholding people. When you start withholding finance, you'll also find that healings are withheld, salvations are withheld, deliverances are withheld, the glory environment is withheld. You'll always find the glory where there's extravagant worshipers, extravagant givers, extravagant everything. So as a ministry, we are actually known. Do you know that we're known for our generosity? I've had write-ups with like Steve Schultz and the Elijah List, and I was just with a couple of ministries recently. They actually proclaim publicly that our ministry is one of the most generous ministries they know. You know, and this is written out and sent out over the internet everywhere. And there's a reason for that. It's because our team has that as a value. Because we live out of the value of our heart, we're a generous ministry. Who else is generous? God is generous. For God so loved the world that He gave Himself. You know, I mean, you don't get any more generous than that. So we want to be known like our Heavenly Father. We are a generous people. And we believe that the tithe belongs to the Lord. And so we want all of our team to be tithers. I believe the tithe's brought into the storehouse, but it doesn't belong. It doesn't belong, like, the tithe doesn't belong to CSA, Extreme Prophetic. It doesn't belong to a local church either. It belongs to the Lord. But you bring it into the storehouse. And most of the times that is a local church environment or an environment where you're being fed, where the food is. But we want all of our team to be tithers, because the tithe, when you bring all the tithe, when every team is a tither, when every team member is a tither, it doesn't matter where you put your tithe, but as long as you're giving it to the Lord somewhere, when you come together, then there's an open heaven. Because He said, will I not pour out blessings for you that you cannot contain? And we see that over and over and over again as a ministry. We always have the open heaven. And it's because the core of our ministry, they're just tithers. They give God the first and the best, not the crumbs after it's left over, but the first and the best and extravagant giving on top of that. And that's why I believe that we've been so blessed. Okay, let's talk about grooming and dress code. We don't have an official dress code. But we want everyone clean, of course, and smelling sweet. And we would suggest, at altar calls and that, to have mints available so that, you know, you make sure your breath is fresh and make sure you wear your deodorant and that. But some people really like dressing very casual, and other people dress up. We want you to dress in how you feel comfortable. Just be modest. We want to make sure that there's modesty. And it's hard these days, even for like women, because of the clothing styles that are out there, it's almost hard to get something that isn't too low here and too high here. And, you know, so, but we want to make sure that we are modestly dressed. And, you know, we don't want to be as the world and you know, flaunt a bunch of cleavage or whatever if you have it. You know, we don't want to do that, and we don't want the wrong bulges to show, you know, like we want to have a sensitivity to that so that we don't cause anyone to stumble, but so that we carry the fragrance of Jesus. So we want to be really sensitive, and you just feel free to wear whatever style you want. And dress appropriate for the occasion. Like, for example, if you were going to go prophesy over a senator, like I had the opportunity just this last week to prophesy over a senator. It was the very first time I even met a senator of the USA, but I got to prophesy over him, and it was really exciting. But you wouldn't go in there with your bare feet and your shorts for an official visit with a senator, right? You would dress appropriate for the occasion. So if you're going down to the zone, you might, you know, not want to wear a three-piece suit because it wouldn't be appropriate for them, but you might want to show up in a three-piece suit at an experience night or at a wedding, and that's great, you know. So dress appropriate for the occasion, but as far as the dress code, we don't have any, and we think our team all dresses really wonderfully. Okay, and as volunteers, who we are seeking those who want to be part of such a family that walks in those kind of values. We want to all be together as a family, progressing together in the Lord. He's always going to give us different mandates, you know. It seems like as a prophetic ministry, we get to open up new territory for the body and proclaim new things. And then when we finish that, then he leads us on to the next thing. It's always fun, and it's always beautiful. So we're looking for pioneer-spirited people who just want to be on the cutting edge and serve and make that happen. So basically, that is the orientation, and if there's any questions, we'll be happy to answer them. And if you're watching by DVD and you have questions, if you could just get in touch with the volunteer coordinator, they'll be able to answer any questions that you have. So God bless you.